Welcome to Dead Man's Party. Nostalgic reviews from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. With your hosts, Chris, Alex, and the Ghoul. Who could ask for more? Don't run away, it's only them.
Forget about it. I'm not signing your death warrant, too.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place. Devils die for worlds out of hell's gate. How you stay alive, I'll never know. I won't survive.
Welcome to hell. This is Dead Man's Party, and we are reviewing Death Warrant 1990. I don't pay, and I don't punk. My name is Al, and I'm with the guy who picks up my broken peanut shells off the ground, Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, S.A.?
I'm doing good.
And we're also with the guy who remembers to stop, drop, and roll after leaping out of a blazing furnace, the Ghoul. What's up, Pat?
Bring me a dream. Bring me a dream.
What's up?
Bring me a dream, Burke.
I'm really impressed that you noticed the stop, drop, and roll, because that was another thing I was gonna bring that up. I'm like, oh, shit.
This is directed by Darren Safran, written by David Goyer. You guys might have heard that name.
Oh, really?
He wrote all the Nolan Batmans.
Yeah, he did... he's a whole bunch of shit. He did the Blade movies, I didn't know he was a part of this. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, Robert...
Robert, that's a good start.
G-U-I-L-L-A-U-M-E.
Oh, the black guy. Yeah, I don't know how to say it. I don't know.
Cynthia Gibb. George Dickerson. Art LaFleur. Patrick Kilpatrick. Joshua John Miller, Hank Stone. No one's going to know these people, so I can stop now.
You could have stopped after Van Damme.
I know him, Hawkins. He's in a lot of stuff.
He's the voice of Rafiki in The Lion Kings, the cartoon ones. I didn't know that after I looked it up. I was like, oh, shit.
And Art LaFleur, you know. But
he's just in Cobra.
Right. Paulo Toca, who played Perez... I'm going to click his name. I believe he was in Van Damme's other stuff, like Bloodsport. There you go.
The guy in Bloodsport that, like, puts his fists up. And I recognized him in that.
Paco. He's Paco.
Yeah, Paco, yeah.
And he was also in Van Damme's other movie called In Hell, which is also a prison movie.
I've never seen that one, no.
Yeah, I have most all of Van Damme's movies, so I got that one. It's not like this. It's more of a drama. Yeah, there's some fighting in it, but so this is Death Warrant, and this is actually an 80s movie. I believe it was done before Lionheart, but came out after, in 1990, but yeah.
Wait, I thought Lionheart didn't come out till 91 or 92.
Am I remembering that wrong then?
Yeah, you are.
You're sure?
Yeah.
So how do you guys...
No, sorry. I apologize. I'm wrong. 1990.
Wow. What
You're right.
a scumbag. You see, Pat? He tries.
But I liked it, though. It's actually, like, I really like... It's always an awesome part of an action movie when your main villain has, like, an absurd name like Sandman or something like that. It's like, first of all, which we have to get into, I don't know why the fuck do they call him the Sandman, only because he wears pajamas when he kills people? What the fuck?
Well, he does seem like a thing of nightmares.
Back in the early 90s when I was in high school, it was like considered cool to have a fucking CB radio in our trucks. So me and a bunch of my friends had CBs, and my CB handle was Mr. Sandman, based on the fucking boxer in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That's what I chose as my name, Mr.
That's awesome.
Sandman.
I was terrified of that boxer in that game. He was...
Dude, he's the hardest one. He's the hardest one.
Yeah. He was really... I beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out as a kid, even Tyson.
Yeah, me too.
But it was really hard to beat him for some reason, and sometimes yep. Super Macho Man.
Yep, you had to time it just right.
Yeah, what do you want to get into? Sandman for a little bit? Yeah, I mean, this guy...
There's so much going on with him.
Yeah, Patrick Kilpatrick is like... He is the creepiest dude ever. He was perfect for this role. There's something so, like, uneasy about him. Like, just
his eyes.
His eyes is that thing on his... That scar on his face. His hair is out of this world. Like, you don't know if he's losing it or if it's just something.
When you first see him, he jumps out of that fucking closet or whatever that is. Like Jason Voorhees' brother or something. And he's like grunting and making noises and shit. And then he literally picks up Van Damme and just throws him across the room like 15 feet.
Yeah,
not even like a shoulder throw. He picks him up and just goes boom. And he goes flying across the room.
Very far is awesome.
Even the fact that he doesn't jump out as soon as Van Damme opens the door is unnerving.
No.
It's all strange, and he doesn't seem to have a care in the world. He's not afraid of anything. This is all a joke to him. You don't even know what his motivation is. Like, you don't know anything. Like, how is he the Sandman? How did he become the Sandman?
Yeah.
He even says, "You can't kill me, Burke. I'm the Sandman." Like, and apparently you can't, even if you fire, like, 5 or 6 rounds right through his body.
Correct me if I'm wrong. They give you no backstory at any point in this movie, right, about that guy? Nothing.
Nothing.
Dude, they don't even give you what happened to him after he was shot 5 or 6 times.
Right. He's at the beginning, and then he shows back up later. No narrative whatsoever.
Yeah, and they don't even tell you how he killed Burke's partner, because that's his impetus behind going after him in the first place. Like, there should have been, like, an added, like, 10-minute opener explaining or giving us that, I feel like. Give us something.
Should there, or is it more mysterious that... Because now we're sitting here...
That's true.
30 years later with all these questions.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's 5 years later with all these questions. It's bizarre. And, like, 16 months later, Van Damme has no update on this guy's status. Is he dead? Is he alive? Is he in prison? Like...
I have a question about that, too. So the 16 months later thing, when he's coming back, is he, like, when he's walking around the office when he gets to the police station, everyone's, like, talking to him, like, oh, like, whatever. Is he just, like, coming back on to work after that incident? Is that what that's supposed to be? Because all the people there, like, if you read some of their lips, they're like, oh, like, welcome back, nice to see you. And he's, like, all, like, shaking their hands as if they haven't seen him since that incident, which is just, like, I don't know, just something I noticed.
I thought it was just a montage of how much everyone loves him.
All right, that's probably really what it is. I'm just looking too far fucking into it.
No, that's interesting you say that, because why say 16 months later? Why does it matter? Like, why would it matter if he did that Sandman thing, and then, like, it was only 2 weeks later that they said, hey, do you want to go to that prison? Like, why does it have to... What's 16 months? Is it because it's more of a surprise that Sandman showed up? Because, oh my god, this was so long ago, or, like, but are we even supposed to remember that by the time Sandman walks back into that prison? Like, I don't...
Yeah, how about, so when Van Damme gets called into that office at the beginning so they can pitch him the thing about going undercover, they assign him that female partner, or whatever you want to call her, Amanda. She immediately gives him this look like, oh, we're gonna fuck later. She, like, smirks at him. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, that escalated quickly.
She's cute, that's fine, but, like, she's supposed to be, like, a lawyer or something, right?
Supposed to be professional.
Yeah, and she immediately looks at him like she wants to rip his clothes off.
Yeah, and he offends her by saying, you have no experience for this case. And then she's like, let me tell you something. He's like, okay, fine, you can do it. It's like, oh, that's it? She just told him off and said, I went to this, but if you have a problem with me being a woman. It's like, no, I'd rather pose as a gay couple in prison. I need a guy to say he's my husband. I don't want you to be a woman. Bizarre. So they tell him that they want him to go to Harrison Penitentiary. 9 prisoners were killed. And we find out later they were killed and they were harvesting their organs. And it all started with, like, this dude in charge of something or other where his wife needed an organ. And he said, well, prisoners are scum anyway, so who gives a shit about them? Let's just kill them. They're useless human beings, right?
So absurd. Absolutely insane.
And it's weird because sometimes you battle with that. Like, yeah, they are pretty much scum and they're useless and all they're going to do is come out and hurt and kill and rape people anyway. So fuck them. Let's just use them for their organs. But then when you get that inside look and you see people like Hawkins in there, you're like, well, I don't want that to happen to him, though. So therein lies the conflict of, do you treat prisoners like just scum or are there some real people in there? And then there's the conflict of the morality of the situation.
Right, because, I mean, you know, in every prison, there's people in there that did something really fucking stupid when they're 18 years old, when they're, you know, young and dumb, before they mature and...
Right.
Well, especially if you think back then, too, in the 80s, 90s, people were getting fucking thrown in jail for the dumbest shit.
Dude, people would get sentenced to, like, 20 years in prison for getting busted with marijuana.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. It's such a fucked up system.
I think we could definitely harvest the rapists and murderers stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
I would have no problem with that, but...
No redeemable qualities there, absolutely.
No. So, there's these guys in prison, so they walk, like, Van Damme's walking through prison, there's a camera shot through the prison. So, as a kid, I was really afraid of this place.
I'm still afraid of it now.
I was watching it now thinking, can you fucking imagine getting sent to a place like that and looking around? Dude, I would be immediately looking for a bed sheet, just like Rod Lane in Nightmare on Elm Street, to fucking tie up, do the fucking choke, I'm gone. I couldn't live like that, dude. Constant fear of those motherfuckers.
Well, they got all the right, like, character, like, side character actors for these guys. Like, the guy who's, like, the leader of the white gang, that, first of all, the hairiest motherfucker I've ever seen in anything. That guy, like, he looked like, I don't know. But he was, like, even just the way his face looked, I was like, this guy looked like he probably really was in fucking prison at one point in his life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Starving. And then his weird little buddy with the inscription on his head who's always lifting the dumbbell and just has pretty eyes.
Oh, they probably filmed some of that in a real prison. I'm sure some of those people were actually prison. I mean, they've done that before in movies.
Yeah, they're like, act normal, everybody.
Yeah, that place doesn't feel like a set piece either. Definitely feels like a real prison. So adds to it with that.
Can we get into this Mohawk, dude? So, so I'm sorry. Is he supposed to be white?
I don't know. I don't know. It's there's a weird, again, there's like a missing backstory there.
That's the non-whitest white guy I've ever seen in my life. His hairline starts an inch above his eyebrows. The Mohawk could not be the worst Mohawk if he tried harder. He tattoos the names of his victims in the side of his head and tells people about it.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my goodness, that's very special.
I like when Van Damme's first getting checked in at the prison, and the doctor says, do you have any communicable diseases? And he's like, not yet. As if he knows he's going to get fucking ass-raped and be in chlamydia.
And then the obviousness of that doctor, too, he's like, oh, you have a very rare blood type. And then the look he gives him, it's like, here we go. That's what the plot point right there.
Yeah, he meets his cellmate.
This guy looks like he could have been like a stand-in for Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver before he cut to the Mohawk. That's what he looked like. I had it in my notes as, discount Travis Bickle.
He says, get down on your hands and knees and pay like any other cherry. And Van Damme says, I don't think so.
The whole, it must be great to be Van Damme, right? Because you could go in there basically fearless because you could just look at everybody like, you're not kicking my ass.
That's like the opening scene of the movie when Van Damme's outside on that sidewalk.
Yeah.
He's talking on the walkie-talkie. The guy puts his hand on his shoulder. Van Damme just turns around and goes, what's the problem? Like, he already knows he's going to waste these fucking guys.
The way he kicks that guy.
If I turned around, if I was on a sidewalk at night and turned around and saw three cholos standing there, like with the fucking knives, I'd probably start crying and just run away. Like, I'm not even fucking kidding.
No, yeah, no.
And he knocks the one dude out with an elbow, then he kicks the other guy, and the other guy runs off. I mean,
and the other guy runs off while saying, "I'm gonna get you, man."
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Nothing I would do to those guys would make the third one run off. I can tell you that much. So he has to go and get information because he's instantly, by the way, like, he's not even like building into this. He instantly is like digging into the story. Like, he doesn't even play it off for like 2 months to make it seem like,
yeah, he's like basically saying, "I'm a cop, let's like help me." Like,
could you make it more obvious that you're a cop? Crazy. So he goes and sees the priest in these lower levels.
God.
And the guards won't even go down there.
So
that place seems like it's Freddy Krueger's boiler room.
I was going to say, I realize there are things that go on in prisons that guards probably turn their eye to. But this was like a whole sub-level of humanity that existed down there. Like some whole, it was like, you know, in Demolition Man where there's that whole sub-sewer.
Yeah.
That's like what was going on here. Like this whole transvestite community living and thriving down in the basement level of this prison with no interference whatsoever.
At all. Is that all that was there besides the priest? And is
that's what I noticed. I thought they were all trans.
All of them, right?
I think it was like kind of like supposed to be like their own little, what do you want to call it? Like, brothel.
Brothel, yeah.
I think that's kind of like what it was supposed to be, but. Priest is fucking. I like the guy who played him. That guy is like, but he's got some crazy shit going on with his eyes.
His fucking red eyes and shit.
Yeah, that's right. They were red, right? But yeah, that I found it entertaining. I was like, oh, this guy's like kind of cool.
He fucking had red eyes like fucking Marilyn Manson here. And tits.
How does this guy pull out mechanical animals in the middle
of
a
podcast?
Here. Did you set that up so that you could tell us?
No, my whole CD wall's right here to my right.
Oh. Yeah, so yeah, the priest is awesome. I like him. I would not sample his women.
I hate to see a good face go to waste.
He asks Van Damme if he needs any hormone pills.
Oh my god.
So, did you recognize the... So, there's the priest, and then there was that his main prostitute, or what, the black guy that was wearing...
Yeah.
Okay, did you recognize that guy?
I felt like I vaguely did, but I could
not. Okay, so I knew he looked really fucking familiar, so I got on IMDb. He's the guy who plays Marvin Berry in Back to the Future in the concert scene.
Yep.
Wow.
And as soon as I saw that, he's like, Chuck, it's Marvin, your cousin, Marvin Berry.
Wow.
That's who that is.
Wow.
Imagine being in Back to the Future 5 years later.
Yeah.
You're in a prison with your hair braided.
Then Van Damme goes to the pharmacy, and it's fucking Doobie from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles working there.
Isn't that wild?
Dude, he was in so many things back
the
in the
doctor,
day.
The doctor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Breaking Bad. He's the mechanic the junkyard guy who gives them like he's in there a couple of times. He's the one who stores the RV after it gets impounded or whatever, and then he has the giant magnet when they have to fuck the trunk up or whatever.
He's in Home Alone. He's in so many fucking things.
Yeah.
He's in Billy Madison. I mean, he was all over the place.
His fucking death scene is brutal. That is terrifying.
Dude, and the way they whispered him, like, "You talked to Burke, and what did you tell Burke?" And all that stuff, like... Here's the problem with that, though. This happens a lot in movies. Which one of those two losers were doing that smooth whisper and had such great, you know, like, delivery here? Like, those two are not talking like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really creepy, though, and the way they, like, shot the gas on him. And I like how he realized he's smoking a cigarette, and he's like, "Wait, these two things don't go together," and he went and stomped on it real quick. As if, you know, because they're not going to have a match or anything on them, even though they're spraying gasoline on you.
Yeah. You're right about it being creepy, though. There's, like, a lot of creepy stuff that goes on in this fucking movie, like that being one of them.
I like the part where Van Damme's like mopping the floor and that Hispanic guy walks in talking shit and he goes, "I want you to meet my homie Bruce." And then this guy, this fucking Mr. Miyagi walks in, like long hair. He just fucking pimp walks in there, starts swinging that chain, and he goes, "He likes to kick the shit out of white trash like you." So they start fighting and Van Damme, you know, takes some shots. Then he fucking slams that dude's head through the, I guess it was a dryer, the glass, and then turns it on, of course.
Yeah, of course he turns it on.
Didn't that just happen in Cobra? Someone got slammed into a dryer?
I think Tango and Cash.
Was it? Oh, maybe it was both these movies in. Okay, because I have that in my notes. Okay.
What do you guys think of the leading lady in this movie?
I thought she was cute, like kind of like Girl Next Door kind of cute.
Yeah.
Other than that, she was pretty forgettable.
I feel like she tried to bring it, but
she didn't do a bad acting job. I just thought at the end of the day, like that whole character was just kind of,
there's like nothing for her to really do.
Superfluous, yeah.
But they gave her a lot. I did notice that she had a lot of screen time without Van Damme.
Yeah, mostly her and just, yeah, little whiz boy.
And then her with the other cops and stuff.
Yeah.
She goes to visit him, and they frisk her, and then they tell her she's going to have to remove all of her clothes.
So uncomfortable.
And she does it. And then they get taken to that fucking trailer or whatever it is.
Well, she was going to remove them anyway in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but as soon as they go in that trailer, all Van Damme is thinking about is fucking her. Like, he doesn't care about anything else at that moment. He just wants to fuck that girl.
Dude, after the week he just had?
Exactly.
In that slime, naked and
turned on with all those transvestites and shit?
Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to touch you guys, but you did get my mojo going.
Yeah, that undressing scene is like just I'm sure that happens a lot, but also that solidified it for me, because like I thought this entire movie, this is on Art LaFleur, because I've never seen him as like a piece of shit in anything, so seeing him actually be like that in this movie, I was like, oh come on, because I thought he was gonna have a turning point at the end when we get there, but
no, he actually gets worse at the end.
I was like at one point I was like, oh, is he gonna try and turn? I was like, nope, he's doubling down on being a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, but he was a great piece of shit, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, even when they were just talking to each other behind the glass, the way he was just gazing over at them and stuff, like, he just looked, it looked great. Like, he was shot really well, and he totally played that part up. It's obviously a trope and all that stuff, but he did great. He was really embodied his role.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like the part where the older black guy is sneaking Van Damme around in that laundry cart, and the prison or the guard just kind of pokes his stick down in two different places just to see if anything's down there. All he would have had to do is lift up the fucking sheet, but he jabs his stick down, lets him through. They go in the room. He's looking around. Guard comes in. Van Damme's up on the ceiling like fucking Spider-Man somehow. How in the fuck did he get up there?
You don't question it when it's Van Damme.
Anything that requires maximum leg strength, you can just, that's Van Damme, so. Boom.
You don't question, it's just like, oh, okay, I can see him doing that. Yeah. It's JCVD, dude. You do not.
All legs.
He tells the lawyer lady to go visit his computer hacker friend, so she goes to see him, and he's like, he looks like he's fucking 14 years old or something.
He definitely is, and he's in Near Dark. He's the little kid vampire.
Okay, I've only seen that once. That was
he's in a bunch of other like random stuff, but this was what, 89, and it came out in 90.
Yeah,
so he's only like 2 years removed from that movie, and he's like little in that movie. Like, I'm talking like maybe like 9 or 10. So this kid's like 13 or 14 maybe.
Yeah, he's like hacking around on his keyboard, and it looks real basic on the screen. But yet, 5 years before this, Gary and Wyatt created a woman out of fucking feeding fucking magazine clippings into a fucking scanner, and they created a flesh and blood woman. And this dude's fucking typing around and trying to figure out some password.
Yeah, Morpheus. Yeah, his face, he has a weird face. It's like all saggy and fat and stuff. And like his glasses and the earring and that one ear is intense. And that ponytail, dude.
There's a lot going on with that kid.
He has a lot.
Props to him, though. He tries to put the move on that fucking woman. He puts his, then he put his hand on her leg or something.
Yes, yes.
Do you want to watch Star Trek?
I was reading in a men's magazine about this. And I'm like, this kid's reading fucking men's magazines trying to get the move.
So the tranny tells Van Damme that he's getting a visitor tonight. That was nice of him to tell Van Damme, right?
Oh, when he comes to his cell? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You got a visitor tonight.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see that white meat wasted.
It's absolutely insane.
Is that the part where they come to Van Damme's cell and he's under the bed and they're stabbing the mattress like fucking yeah. Michael Myers in Halloween 2?
Yep, yep. And like
Night Slasher. The
Night Slasher.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cobra. How many movies are we going to review where someone stabs an empty bed? But at least in this one, Van Damme like bundled it up so it looks like he's in it, right?
Yeah.
Which is weird because they say that all of the harvesting kills were done with an ice pick in the back of the head like Goodfellas, but instead...
That spiked.
He just stabs them regular. Like, I wonder, do you finish it with an ice pick in the back of the head? Do you start it any way you want? Like, how does this work? And why do you kill them all exactly the same way? Wouldn't you not want to arouse suspicion? So, hey, I don't know, anybody might have killed this guy as opposed to that guy as opposed to that guy. But no, let's kill, just like the Wet Bandits, let's kill them all. Let's do the same thing to everybody so that they could trace it all back to one person at the end of all this.
Wait, so when this happens, is Sandman brought back in before
no.
this? All right, so they don't know
after,
that.
Right?
So they don't know that he's a cop yet, because that is why I was going to say maybe that's why they were just going to go right for the kill. But yeah, I don't. Yeah, maybe not.
No, Sandman was brought in at the 58-minute mark with 30 minutes to go in the movie.
Yeah, it's almost like they wanted you to even forget about him. Like,
and you do.
He got killed, quote unquote, at the beginning of the movie, and then it's almost like when he shows back up, the audience is supposed to be like, you know, like, oh my God, he's back.
I gotta say, I was excited about the Sandman this time around, and I will say that the beginning of the movie, it's very abrupt. I wanted like 10 minutes of him.
You mean as far as the Sandman part? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it ended too quickly. Like, he hardly says anything to Burke even in the beginning. And then he's just dead. And I was like, oh, I thought there was more to that. But that's good. Leave him wanting more. And eventually we get it. So, yeah. So he went to kill Burke and killed his cellmate in the process, which was a bummer because I started liking that guy.
Yeah, right.
You know?
And they burn the pharmacy guy or the doctor, whatever he is, they burn him alive. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, there's the part where they burn him alive now. Yeah.
Just like Michael Myers in Halloween 2.
I think they're stealing everything. Everyone's stealing.
Halloween 2018.
They knew that was going to happen. So, yeah, like, this is the point where Burke's fake relationship with his babe escalates quickly and he has sex with her. I mean, he's known her for, what, 2 weeks? Not that that means anything in this society, but...
Yeah, if that.
Yeah, I've known girls for 2 hours and I had sex with
them. I was going to say, I think they met on Tinder.
Right. I don't think it matters anymore. So I love how Hawkins was, like, reluctant. He was like, man, get out of here. I don't owe you shit, bitch, and all this stuff. And suddenly he's totally on board. He's like, we got to help Burke. And he's like, him and like the priest are chatting in like the yard and stuff, talking about how to help this white guy. Cause you know, that is something that would definitely happen in these prisons. He's like, the hell are you doing at this table, boy? Can't you see there's a color table? And he's like, I didn't think that mattered. He goes, man, you better sit with your own kind.
Yeah.
And he goes, you don't know me. I don't know you shit, boy. And then he goes and sits with the white guys.
I like how Hawkins has that milky eye like the dude from Wayne's World 2, Kevin Pollak's character.
He's like, you got stabbed in it. Yeah, I got stabbed in it. What's so hard to believe about that? I'm in prison, motherfucker. What do you mean? You got stabbed in it. Yeah.
Ghoul, you might be a little too young to appreciate this reference, but Alex, there's one scene where they're just randomly showing people in the prison yard, like they're showing guys lifting weights. There's one shot of this short black guy, and he looks like Beetlejuice from Howard Stern.
Oh,
did you pick up on that?
That was so funny.
Did you think the same thing?
Not Beetlejuice, but I remember there was a guy that was like 3'1".
That's who I thought of. Beetlejuice or Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys. That's who.
Oh my God.
Well, we're at the 58-minute mark. The Sandman enters.
Yeah!
Now,
in slow motion glory.
Slow motion. He goes, this ain't no fish. This is the man. And when they show him from a distance, dude, and then he just looks in and turns to the right and gazes at Burke.
The way he looks at him, fuck yeah, dude.
It's his fucking, and his fucking eyebrows are like bleached like white or blonde, which just adds to how fucked up he looks already.
It's all uneasy. Everything about him is uneasy.
Yep.
And even when he's in there, like, the pants he's wearing, these green pants.
They're like scrubs.
They're like scrubs, and they look, they're so baggy, and it's just, everything looks off-putting on him. Like, of course, they didn't want him to look sleek and nice and cool or anything. They want him to look awkward and strange, and he does. He looks otherworldly.
He looks very bizarre, yes.
Yeah, and he also looks like he smells like piss.
Yeah, like that ammonia smell.
Yeah, like you could smell the Sandman coming. That's your only warning.
He tells everyone Burke is a cop. Even Hawkins is asking him at this point, why are you still here? Like, your cover was blown, dude. What are you still doing here? Then we all find out the reason he's still there is because now they cut ties. They're leaving him in there to die. That dude who started this whole thing about harvesting organs, he sent the Sandman there from another prison to get rid of Burke because none of these other guys could do it.
That reveal for that guy when the lawyer woman, when she reveals that, like his, like when he gets the gun out and he's like, well, I was expecting somebody to be like, oh, I'm taking her hostage, whatever. But then the guy's wife walks in and she's like, what's going on? And then she's like, yeah, tell her. And then his look on his face when he's like he's completely powerless now. I was like, wow, that just got like, they took all the fire out of that. It was really funny though.
And there's no resolution. Like, does he kill himself?
Yeah.
Does he go to prison? What happens? Does she leave him? Nothing. We don't know anything that happened as a result of all this.
Yeah, not even like a... I'm going to allude to Tango and Cash's ending with the newspaper. Not even like a newspaper shot showing like a lawyer jailed for prison harvesting scheme, whatever. Like, nothing like that either.
Nothing. Yeah. Not that we were looking for that, so I guess that's why they left that out. Maybe they did do something. Oh, you know what? Nobody gives a shit about this guy.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's the crux of the movie, but at the same time, we're interested in Van Damme and Sandman.
Exactly, yeah, that's what we're here for, yeah.
And Hawkins and Priest, yeah, we don't care about this guy.
So Van Damme gets hung up by chains, right?
Yeah.
In the showers.
Yep.
And Sandman's got that knife against his chest. And he's like, you know what prisoners hate more than anything, Burke? Cops. Fucking pigs! Except he didn't sound as cool as the Night Slasher does when he says pig.
Hey, pig!
Yeah.
Want to go to hell with me, Burke?
And then he says, bring me a dream, Burke. Bring me a dream. Which is another reference to Halloween 2, because that movie opens and closes with Mr. Sandman song playing... Bring me a dream.
Please. That was just a thing to the song, not that movie.
I think crazy. Halloween 2 is the most influential movie of all time.
So how did Van Damme electrocute the bars of his cell? What did they let him have in there that he's able to do something like this? Does he have a car battery?
He just used his roommate's radio.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
And can you do that?
I have no idea.
Hawkins and Priest save his ass from Art LaFleur.
Oh.
This is when there's like a prison riot. They're all going after Burke. And, you know, Art LaFleur brings him in this room. And they were just going to blow his head off.
Yeah.
In this room amongst all these people.
Yeah. That's the thing I thought was funny. Is like, all right, so they find out he's a cop. Wouldn't they be on his side?
Right.
But I guess they're probably all in on it. That's why.
That has to be it, right?
Yeah.
So the Mohawk dude using a weight as a boxing glove is about the lamest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, the best part is they telegraph that the entire time. He always has that thing in his, like, every time they show him.
Right. Yeah, he was eating lunch with a fucking dumbbell on his hand. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, that was outrageous. So... we're not going to say it, but Art LaFleur obviously drops the N-word a lot. Actually, everybody does. Like, even the guy's like, I saw you helping out that N-word earlier, you know, and then the other guy says, I don't know, he goes, it's always the N-word's fault and all that stuff. Now, here's the thing about that. Obviously, it's racist, right? But at the same time, you know that this is how these guys really are.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, in prisons, are you kidding me? No fucking filters in a prison.
Right. I was, like, genuinely shocked at how much it, like, was in, like, for a movie like this, for, like, how, like, it was, like, but, yeah, you know, you're right, that makes it feel lived in. Like, it adds,
it's just,
like,
that's, yeah, it's just different time, man. That's how it was when we grew up.
Yeah.
Even when he said he likes to kick the shit out of white, whatever he said, like, I don't care about that. Like, to me, that's just how I know that you guys are saying this stuff, you know, in prison or whatever. Like we said, it feels lived in, it feels real, and this and that. So, Hawkins, he got shot, and then Art LaFleur goes looking for him, and then he says that horrible line about how he could smell him, and then he says, kiss your black ass goodbye. And I love how when Hawkins has a gun to the back of his head, a shotgun, he still takes the time to insult his weight.
Go fuck yourself, you much bastard.
That's awesome.
Oh, I might be dead in 10 seconds, but you're fat, motherfucker. And Art's really not that fat. Yeah,
no, I guess he's a soft guy, but yeah. I mean, that's another thing. You don't really see people getting weight shamed a lot in movies anymore either.
Right, we're not going to see any of
this. Especially someone that looked like him. It's not like he weighed 500 pounds.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot fatter cops or guards or whatever he is. Yeah. So the Sandman kills Priest, dude.
Oh, axe to the stomach, right?
That was absolutely brutal.
Fuck.
I hated it.
And he didn't even use, like, the front end. He used the pick part of it. Like, that's even got to hurt even fucking more. But then I love Van Damme tries to, like, check on Priest. He, like, checks his pulse. I was like, this guy's got an axe stuck into his heart. I don't think he's making it.
He's like, Priest. But I love that part because it shows that he cares.
And yeah, he gave a shit. Well, I mean, after we just saw Priest just save Hawkins, too. So it's, like, makes that, like, stings even more. You're like, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And Van Damme comes in there, and doesn't he, like, flex his arms? He's like, come on! just like Arnold in Predator. Come on, kill me! I'm here!
Do it! Come on! Do it! Yeah, that Van Damme scream, that's iconic 90s Van Damme legendary stuff. Just like something we'll get to where he's like, ah! After he kicks someone somewhere. Like, that is amazing Van Damme stuff. You have to have those things to make it a great Van Damme movie.
You really need to keep that impression in. That is probably the funniest fucking thing ever.
So the Sandman's clothes got even stranger because now you got these green pants and this awkwardly fitting, like, officer jacket on him. Like, everything about this guy just looks so off-putting and strange and awkward. It is so uncomfortable.
I think that's there to, like, imply that he killed a guard for it or something, I guess. Like, because, well, the weird part is when the whole riot starts, all the inmates clear out of that, like, main block that Van Damme and all of them are in. And he goes in it, and then he just stands there. It is empty. And then I was like, oh, is he going to wait for, like, that's where the final battle is going to be? Like, but nope, he's just being fucking Sandman doing Sandman things, I guess.
But I love it because that also adds to the mystery of him.
Yeah.
Because you would think a guy like him would lead everybody to a direction.
Yeah.
Instead, he's still the top guy, and you walk around him, but he's still going in the direction no one else is going.
Yeah.
Like, that speaks volumes to the strangeness of that character. Like, why does he do these things? What is he thinking? What's his motivation? Like, and that is just proven. Just a guy who's only in 20 minutes of this movie, if that. Think of, like, these little character nuances you gave him and the mystery it adds and how much cooler he is because of that compared to when you try to explain people to death and we all end up hating it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
Like, so Sandman's fighting style and his size, it really does give him that impossible to beat feeling, right?
Yeah, well, he's like almost like as physically imposing as Night Slasher was in Cobra, but like in a different way. Like, he doesn't seem, like, muscular. He just seems like he's just got, like, just, like, so much, like, rage behind him and brute force.
Power.
Just power. Just, like, fucking raw. Just, like, bare hands. Even though, like, he's using weapons even though he clearly doesn't need to. Like, yeah, he just looks like he could just use his hands to just absolutely destroy any part of your, like, body. Like,
yeah, he's got that retard strength.
I don't know what he has.
He doesn't have, like, it's meant to be played that he doesn't have any, like, pain receptors, clearly, because some of the shit that happens to him, he doesn't react to.
Right. He doesn't. Like, even the propeller blade, when it, like, chopped the back of his hair off,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he has, like, the blood going down his neck. Yeah. I wish they actually showed that more. I wish they showed, like, some, like, a little piece of his, like a white part of where the skull would be or something crazy like that, you know? Like, I wish they went for that one, but...
Yeah. I love that we got brought back to another, like, furnace foundry location for the final fight.
I have in my notes, incinerator... I was expecting to see the satanic axe clanking accountants from Cobra. Same basement fucking quote unquote hell type room.
Yeah, I can't wait to review a movie that doesn't end in like a Foundries type era. Hey, could we review Commando next week?
I don't get tired of it. I like it.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
It's funny.
But even like Commando, like they even pull the same gag with the fire and the flames behind Bennett and stuff like that.
Oh,
just
my
like
God,
that.
You're right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, amazing. So the way they edit this fight, like these double, like these kicks and punches, like they're doubled up.
Yeah.
Or else it's like one, but it's two different kicks, but they're edited like back to back. That definitely. Ads like that's a 90s thing. I don't even know if new movies do that anymore, but I think it definitely because they do that in Kickboxer, remember? Like the
oh, yeah, like the rapid fire type, editing. Yeah,
well, that's also in the final fight scene in Commando, they do that too, like show just like the rapid punches, stuff like that. Yeah, they double up on the edit, yeah,
right.
They do that on Bloodsport also in the Kumite,
yeah,
and I love it. I think that's great. It definitely adds to the charm of these movies.
Absolutely.
Sandman pulls open the furnace, the incinerator, and he says, Welcome to hell, and stands there. Like, and then he looks so surprised, because you see it's just a shot of Van Damme jumping up and doing the kick, and he's
and
like...
And that kick, and doesn't Van Damme do that?
That's when he goes,
yeah.
And he lands in the incinerator, dude. And this guy eventually jumps back out of it.
Which I was not expecting whatsoever.
How could you?
He gets engulfed in an incinerator. You would be, I would think, dead within about 20 seconds. Or at least in a state of shock to where you couldn't even...
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't even function your senses or anything like that.
No.
But he comes stumbling back out... And doesn't he scream "Burk" or something?
Yeah, he does. I think he screams it while he's still in the incinerator, but he doesn't even jump out. I think he's still screaming before he screams it.
He comes walking out fully engulfed in flames, just like Michael Myers at the end of Halloween 2.
I'm trying to get away from the horror podcast.
Did Rick Rosenthal direct this movie?
Oh my.
The crowd is chanting his name, aren't they? Sandman!
Yeah.
The fucking prisoners?
The entire prison's watching the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like they're just watching a fucking fight.
Oh, yeah, all the black guys, all the white guys, they're all together for this one. Like, nope, there's, like, the Sandman brings everyone together.
And like, he's burning and just writhing around on the ground and eventually puts the fire out.
The best use of stop, drop, and roll in a movie, for sure.
Yeah, he had the presence of mind to remember to do that.
He would not have a speck of flesh left on his body at that point.
Yeah.
It would be gone.
It would be beyond Krueger at that point.
I wish they made his, like, makeup have a little more burning. I was expecting, like, because by that point, he looks like an actual fucking monster. I was hoping that they did a little more, though, to make him look even more scary. But, I mean, you don't really have to with what they've already shown us with him. But still would have been cool.
And doesn't he say, "You can't kill me, Burke. I'm the Sandman."
Well, after he kicked, which is another, so he, as soon as he gets out, he's now standing there after he stops, drops, and rolls, and then, unfortunately, he doesn't really do anything else. He just stands there, and then Burke kicks him into that, like, the handle with the rod sticking out of it.
Okay, yeah.
Goes through the back of his head, and even then, he's laughing.
Yeah, he's still alive.
And says, "You can't kill me, I'm the Sandman." And then all he does is push his jaw up into his face.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's he do? It just looked like he squeezed his face or something.
A very anticlimactic way to kill it, like finish him off. Like, weird.
Right after you had this amazing moment of him jumping out of the furnace. It's like, okay, wow, where are we going now? Nowhere. You just
Then he slowly walks up the stairs, and it's dead silent in there.
Yo, man, let the man go through. He just snuffed the Sandman. No, actually, he says he just dusted the Sandman, and the original title for this movie was Dusted.
Really?
Yeah, and they changed it to Death Warrant.
Well, okay. I think Death Warrant's a way better title than Dusted.
It seems to fit it fits the movie way more. Dusted, just, I don't know.
Yeah, what is this about? A clean table or a fucking guy in prison? Like,
Dusted,
what is this?
What the fuck?
Right.
Oh,
like, fuck. Yeah, so it's all... So didn't they make a song, Step Aside, Let the Man Go Through? Let the Man Go Through. Didn't they make a song like this?
Move aside and let the man go through. Let the man go through. Move aside and let the man go through. Let the man go through. Move aside and let the man go through. Let the man go through. Move aside and let the man go through. Let the man go through.
I remember as a kid relating those two things together, and I thought that this movie inspired that song, or...
I have no idea.
I think the song that plays at the end isn't even a, like, that kind of song. It sounds like a off, like, brand, like, Bruce Springsteen kind of person. I don't know.
I looked it up. So it's all from the soundtrack here. Oh, here it is. It's called Bring Me a Dream. Death Warrant has a whole soundtrack to it. I guess a lot of it's score, but there's also a lot of songs. And there's a song called... Well, either way, they're all, like, the cheesy... It's almost just like Cobra.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we find out Hawkins survived, thank God, and he's going to make it. So that way he could heal up and go right back into his cage.
Yeah, he took a life, but he gained his life back. He's redeemed or whatever he says, something like that. I was like, I don't know if that's the trade-off there, buddy, but hey...
Yeah, it's not bringing your victim back, and it's not like you're being forgiven for any of this. So
the murderer is still alive.
Yeah, he walks outside, he puts Hawkins on the stretcher, and of course that girl's there waiting for him right outside the prison.
Yep.
And he kisses her, and they walk away, and...
That little kid's there, too.
Is he?
Oh my god, I didn't realize
that. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he's there.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
It's funny though. They're like, he's like supposed to be Van Damme's like guy, but I'm like, how did they? Where's the backstory?
Yeah, how does he even know that kid?
Let's get a prequel on that. How was their relationship?
Yeah, is it like Marty and Doc Brown? Like, what is their relationship?
Right.
Yeah, really weird. So that's Death Warrant. I gotta say, like, these are the funny like 90s and 80s action movies that. That's why I wanted to do this show. Like, this is exactly the stuff I wanted to talk about. So this is, like, one of the first of that type. All right, before we get to our ratings, my buddy Steven Scott wrote a book called The Demon Inside Me, and he made a little 60-second commercial to tell you what it's all about. Check it out, and we'll be right back with the ratings of Death Warrant.
Have you ever wondered what goes on in the mind of a person demonically possessed? Jeffrey does. After his father's death in a mini-bike accident, an unwanted guest decides to dwell deep inside the boy. Jeffrey's mind deteriorates as the visitor taunts, tortures, and terrifies him with sickness and horrific nightmarish images. Reality around him is warped with skewed images and strange, indiscernible voices from his mother, sister, cousin. His being, identity, and soul are all fading as the entity takes more and more control. All Jeffrey can do is wait for his family and priest, Father Matthew, to rid him of the evil intruder. Join Jeffrey on his journey through demonic possession and hopefully his deliverance as well. The Demon Inside Him by Stephen Scott. Available on Amazon and Audacity.
How many transvestites are we giving a rain check to out of 5 for Death Warrant, Chris?
Oh, when I was done with the movie, as far as what my wheelhouse is, my entertainment, I gave it a... I know this is going to sound low to you, Alex, but I didn't think it was terrible. I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5, which to me just means It was okay. It was worth a watch, but it's probably nothing I'll ever, like, sit down and watch again. But I don't regret watching it.
Hey, man, it's worth it for Sandman alone.
Oh, yeah. That's etched into cinema lore now.
We need, like, a movie about that guy. But again, we'd probably hate it because they would explain too much. How many transvestites are you giving a rain check to out of five, the ghoul?
I'm going to go this. So this was... I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 because I, so like I said, I'm not a big Van Damme guy. So this was a blind spot completely, but I ended up enjoying it way more than I thought I would. It really isn't as like, I was expecting like typical, like, cause honestly, if I'm not going to lie, like between like the ones I've seen, like Kickboxer, Bloodsport, like it gets kind of corny at certain parts. This one definitely did, but at the same time, it kind of like really got like, it stayed very serious, like tonally for the most part. So yeah, serviceable. I would probably watch this again, honestly, if just even just have it on in the background while you're doing other stuff. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. So yeah, 3 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, my rating is going to have a lot of nostalgia to it, but I don't know. I think it's now one of, I think it always was, but now it's, I think it moved up a couple spots as far as my favorite Van Damme movies. So I would give this, if you're, you gotta remember, I'm a Van Damme guy, though. So, like, I have, like, 25 of his movies on Blu-ray and stuff. Like, I'm into this. Yeah, I'm into this stuff. So, hey, listen, there are people who watch horrible karate movies. There are people who watch horrible slashers.
I was gonna say, that's no different than me having 50 fucking B-movie slashers on my show.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just a different genre. So, I'm into this. So, and I agree... Yeah, I grew up with all this. I love this stuff. So I give this, like, I'd say 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Really, really like it. So nice. It's one of Van Damme's better movies.
So what would you say, like, your top three Van Damme are?
Well, it's just obviously Kickboxer, Bloodsport. And, like, the third one, I don't know. It's weird. I don't have – this might be it at this point because – like, all his, like, direct-to-video movies are just solid. None of them are amazing like those. I'm not that big on Cyborg or Universal Soldier or Hard Target. Lionheart, I really like. I just watched that, like, 2 months ago. I like that one. But...
what about Sudden Death?
I didn't like Sudden... there was a time I hated Sudden Death. It, like... we should review that because it's really, really cheesy.
Is this on Blu-ray?
Oh, yeah. Most Van Damme movies are on Blu-ray. Like, even that cheesy double team with Dennis Rodman. Like, yeah, Death Warrant's definitely on Blu-ray.
I might actually grab that, because I just, yeah, just to add, to just have it, you know. All right,
it looks amazing, yeah.
Cool.
Yep, yep. So, yeah, that's it, guys. Don't worry, we have a lot more Van Damme on the way. So this is the first one. Really glad we did this. Death Warrant, Sandman, Hawkins, the Priest. So we will see you next week. The end of belly of night.